Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the sermon title for today on the screen?
Saying you're sorry.
As our Lenten sermon series continues with Psalm 51, David writes, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, O Lord, only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." Now, this morning, at the risk of dating myself and giving you a hint of how many years have passed in my life, I'm wondering if any of the rest of you remember, maybe you could just raise your hand if you do, an old TV show, a comedy called Happy Days. Anybody? Well, gee, maybe half the congregation remembers that show. The show's most famous character, the iconic character, was a character by the name of the Fonz. The Fonz was the personification of cool. The Fonz was who every girl loved and every guy wanted to be. But the Fonz had a major flaw. His flaw was he was literally unable to say, "I am wrong." Even when he knew he needed to, he could not get the words out of his mouth, "I am sorry." His mouth would just not produce the sounds for him to say even sorry. Now maybe you have known people like this. People that can never say they're wrong. People who can never say they are sorry. It's just that they are unwilling to admit that they need to apologize to anybody for anything. Allow me to assure you, unlike the Fonz, there's nothing cool about that. It is a flaw. It is a flaw with a consequence. And without the asking of forgiveness, a person cannot be forgiven. King David, at one point in his life, thought that he was too cool and too self-righteous to apologize for his wrongdoings. This led to a sizable number of sins. In David's case, he coveted the wife of another man, a woman named Bathsheba, with whom he had inappropriate sexual relations and that bore a son. And then he arranged to have her husband Uriah killed in the field of battle. It was a terrible series of sins for which David had no intention of saying, "I'm sorry." This finally ate away at him. In Psalm 32, listen to David's words. "For when I slept, my bones wasted away through my groaning all night long. For day and night, O Lord, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer." David's unconfessed guilt was wreaking havoc on him spiritually, mentally, and physically. My friends, there's a lesson for us in this. We should never consider ourselves too cool, too righteous to ask for forgiveness. Because the guilt that we have with unconfessed sin will eat away at us, even making us physically sick. Whatever happened to David? Well, fortunately, God in his kindness sent to David, David's pastor, the prophet Nathan. And the prophet Nathan came to David with the story that's recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Nathan said to David, pardon me, "There were two men in a great city, one rich, the other one poor. The rich man had many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb which he had bought. And he brought the lamb up, and it grew up with him and his children, and it used to eat of his food and drink from his cup and lie in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. But there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own lambs to prepare it for the guest who had come to him. But he went and took the poor man's lamb, slaughtered it, prepared it for the man who had come to him. Now, when King David heard this, he was very angry with what had happened. And David made this royal declaration in 1 Samuel 12. As the Lord lives, the man who has done this thing and taken the poor man's lamb deserves to die. And he shall restore that lamb fourfold because he did this horrible thing and had no pity. And that's when Nathan, the prophet, David's pastor, looked him in the eye and said, "You are the man." He told David this story to compare him taking Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, with the rich man taking the poor man's lamb. And he asked David these words in 1 Samuel 12, "Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, taking his wife to be yours. You have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites." Now David could not squirm out of this one. So what would he do? Would he continue to deny his sins? How could he? He already said his unconfessed guilt was eating away at him. So David confessed to his pastor, to the prophet Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." He was admitting that he was wrong. He was admitting that he was sorry. He was admitting that he had sinned. But not only had he sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah, he had sinned against the Lord God Almighty. Now, David had more to say directly to God about this sin in his life, and these words are recorded in our Psalm 51 hymn. Listen to what David wrote. "O Lord, I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." David put it all out there in a confession of his sin. He held nothing back. But that isn't the end of it. It's only the first part. Now, would the Lord forgive him? His pastor, Nathan, as a prophet of the Lord, was called by God to declare to David, on the basis of his confession, that he was forgiven. Look at what the text says. Nathan said to David, "On the basis of your confession, the Lord has also put away your sins. You will not die." Out of God's grace and mercy, David would be spared what he was deserved. Not only death, but eternal death and separation from God. Folks, are you listening to this message on Lenten Sunday number one? When we confess our sins to Almighty God for Jesus' sake, He indeed forgives us. When we come before our God humbly and say, "Oh God, I am sorry for my sins. For Jesus' sake, have mercy on me." The Father says, "It is my pleasure for Jesus' sake to forgive you." Friends, as your pastor, and now as a pastor in the ordained ministry for 40 years, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, it is my joy and my pleasure as a called and ordained servant of the Lord to declare to you that upon the confession of your sins, the Lord will put away your sins also. You will not die forever. Now, when we learn that sin is put away, as the psalmist has said, the Lord, please put away my sins, where does our sin go if it's put away? It can't just go away, can it? No, it can't. This is where our Savior, Jesus Christ, plays a crucial role. You see, Jesus did not die for his own sin. He had no sins. He died for the sins of the world. He died for your sins, thank God, and for mine. He died for Victor's sins, baptized today. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said to us, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When our sins are put away from us, they are put on to Jesus, who paid for them on the cross for us. Jesus has dealt with our sins, and as proof that they are put away, Jesus rose from the grave in victory over death and devil and our sin. And this is the very promise given to little Victor. In the waters of baptism today, the Father says to Victor, "I am your Father, you are my Son, your sins have been put on Jesus, you are free forever." Now, what was said by the prophet Nathan to David can be said to you by your pastor today. I am able to say today, as you confess your sins in humble faith to Christ your Lord, the Lord has also put away your sins. You will not die forever. Now, back in Psalm 32, David talked about this. Listen to what David said. "I acknowledged my sins to you, O Lord. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Now, unlike the Fonz and the old TV show, may we never be too cool or too self-righteous to say that we are wrong, to say that we are sorry. May we also confess our sins, in effect saying to God what David said, "I'm sorry, Lord. I've sinned against you. You have a right to condemn me, but please, Father, for Jesus' sake, put my sins away." And guess what? Thanks be to God. For Jesus' sake, the Father puts your sins away. In the name of Jesus, amen.